This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, it's that time of the week again. It's that time of the year. We're back. This is Black Life, baby, with myself and Monroe BC. What's up, guy?
Can I announce myself?
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
Monroe BC 2016.
Monroe BC Reloaded 2016. What's up, guy? How was your happy? We jile
bien. No, we ate it.
We jile.
Anything that we could eat. Everything that we could eat.
Aren't you kosher?
I don't know. I am. Okay. I'm very kosher.
All right, you're a kosher Christian.
No pork.
No pork for this guy.
Yeah.
He's a kosher Christian man.
Nothing haram.
Nothing haram. You're also Muslim.
Anything healthy.
Whatever.
All things healthy.
Muslim Christian.
So how was your holidays, buddy?
They were quiet. For once, I actually had a very quiet holiday. I think I drank too much though. So
I
went to see my doctor as a gift to myself for 2016.
Right.
To just sort my stuff out, man. You know, and we're finding that I had some hormonal deficiencies and things like that. So we're gonna sort those out in 2016.
What hemorrhoid stuff?
No. Well, she's like, actually, you know what? This is something that a lot of men don't realize when they get from, like, you're going to get this when you, it's like from 35 to 40 and onwards, things change in you, you know. Although I found that I'm okay on the testosterone side, I'm also pumping too much estrogen, which is probably why my body weight, in spite of my best efforts, has not managed to go down. And I'm hoping that by the end of this year, all your fat jokes and comments and all that, you know, they'll just, I don't know what you'll be able to say now. You're going to have to find something else to diss me about.
The hips don't lie. For now, I've got pictures of where your hips aren't lying.
Really? You see, the thing is, right, at the end of the day, when I'm finished with this program, Monabisine, you'll see that it was actually not just because I'm just a fatty who doesn't care and I'm eating whatever. Although there were times that I didn't care, I must be honest. I did get myself into this crap. But having said that, okay, there's some things that I've been suffering through, and you have not been at all very supportive, nor have you been sensitive about it. You're an insensitive motherfucker.
I've said it like that.
I'm sorry to say those words like that, but that's how it is.
Mommy's listening, dude.
I'm sorry, mommy, but
now
you know
what?
I
have to go to church with my mother every Sunday.
I'm going to do that. That's part of the thing as well. Like, the whole thing is like, I'm going to, you know, the church thing has got to come back strong this year, man. You know, it's going to come back strong. Brother was doing some things that, you know, they need a change. I need a change. So, mommy, if you're listening,
hallelujah!
I'm coming to church with you.
It's 2016.
So, yeah, now I'm going to say, I wanted to say to the crowd that, you know what, actually, yesterday the gays were saying, like, expose the homophobes. From now on, we're going to expose people who body shame, like Mono BC, especially fat shame, because it's really, sometimes it's really not your fault.
There's a difference between being fat
shame,
and being hippie.
And whatever, you know, we are going, you know what, we have to do something and put Mono BC out there and make him feel crap on social media about what he's doing to the rest of you. I'm taking it for the rest of you. I'm taking his heat.
Luckily,
for the rest
it's
of you.
Aimed at you, and you now want to make it for the nation.
it is for the nation. It's always for the nation. What about the guys out there who don't have a voice and get this crap from people like you, Mona BC?
My hips don't lie, huh?
You see what I'm saying, guys? Let's just tell this guy the truth about, like, you know, actually what he's doing is wrong. Like, hashtag Mono BC body shame. That's the hashtag. Anyway, some interesting things happened at the beginning of this year, which makes me think that this is going to be one of the greatest years in South Africa and in our personal lives ever.
How crazy has this year started?
You know what I mean? Going to 2014, everyone was like so excited. It's 2014. We called it blah, blah, blah. It's going to be the year of breakthrough. Nothing really kind of happened. Then there was 2015. I was like, 2015 is going to be the year. And then the Rand went nowhere. And Nene was fired. People marched against Zuma fees. Falling. It was a mess. 2016 started on one of those really bad notes. Penny got us started. Penny Sparrow got us started in a way that I don't know. I think maybe we needed that. Like a little bit of sober up. Immediately, like, pa.
I don't know about you, but I was glad 2015 is gone. Hamba.
Hamba.
Hamba. Hamba.
Hamba.
Hamba.
Don't
come back.
Don't come back ever.
But 2016, you know, for me has started. I mean, it's very interesting in that, you know, it's been a year so far of, like, roller coasters.
Yeah.
Like, everyone is testing each other.
Yeah.
Everyone is saying whatever they want to say. Everyone is doing whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's guiding us into, you know, something positive, or are we looking for positive things? I mean, what are we looking at? Like, what? In fact, what's your aim for 2016?
My aim for 2016?
Besides getting away from gay comments and
I'm not getting away from anything like that. But my goals is like they were in 2015. But, you know, to realize the goals that I had in 2015, I guess, to be a better human being in general. So that's mind, body, and soul. Mm. You know, to improve myself, to compete against myself, and to be the best that I can be. No more procrastination, to finish what I started, to be a better husband and father, to be a better businessman, to be a better actor, to be a better producer.
How do you become a better husband and father? Over and above what you're doing.
I think a better...
Let's be realistic about this.
I think on the husband side, it's more about patience and knowing that through the ups and downs, the better for better or for worse, is that through sickness and health, just actually being there and
Tumisha,
getting
don't give me your theory, bro. Don't give me your theory.
But I'm telling you, like, I think we got a caller.
No.
Okay, there's a green light there. My bad. No, but that's what I'm talking about. Like, being a better husband is actually not dying to self in a way. And when I say that, I mean like this, right? There's certain things that you won't like that happen in any marriage, from either side, as a husband or as a wife. But just actually being the kind of husband who's like, I'm not really happy about this, but I'm optimistic and I'm in fact, I'm not just sitting in some blind optimism, but I know that this is part of the ups and downs of life and they will come to an end. In the meantime, what am I doing to not make the situation worse? You know what I mean? Because sometimes you get a situation that's brought to you, not because of what you did personally, but you just get this situation that you're like, I don't understand it. I've been doing all the best things that I could do. And now things are just like thrown in my face. What do I do? It's just part of life. Be
Give
a man.
Me an example.
Get
is,
some
is
balls,
like,
man.
Is it like financial stuff?
It's everything. Because, you know, when you're in a partnership like a marriage, it's financial, it's sexual, it's emotional. It's even small things like how many times does your wife cook in that week for you? And yes, the feminists are going to come at me. Why should your wife cook? And well, you know what? That's part of it. Like we have roles, right? I have my roles that I have to fulfill. She has her roles that she has to fulfill. That doesn't mean that we don't support each other in our roles. It just means that we have certain responsibilities. This is your ish, baby. This is my ish. Right. I handle mine. You handle yours. When you can't, I'll step in and vice versa.
And I must put it out there that you're a good cook. I must put it out
well,
there.
Well, I mean, you know, these hips don't lie for nothing, right?
It's domestic chores and stuff that you're referring to. It's being able to say, right, that's your department. So if, I mean, there's different marriages. For example, I don't expect my wife to cook for me.
Ever.
Right? No. I didn't marry her because she can cook.
What did you marry her for?
I married her because she's cool people.
She's hot.
She's cool people. And she makes... She makes my life a hell of a lot easier.
Of course, but there must be some expectations or, in fact, responsibilities that come.
Zero.
Really? So you guys just like fly by the seat of your pants?
No.
Like
no,
she
no,
does
no,
what
no,
she
no.
does. Oh,
no,
shucks,
no.
That wasn't really my thing.
Do you know why I got married? I got married for one reason and one reason only.
Tell me, what's that?
The one reason was I was allowed to be me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very important though in a marriage.
It's
vital.
To me.
No, it's vital. It's
to
it's,
me.
It's number one. And then the rest can follow.
So I don't have to now not meet my girlfriends or boyfriends. You know, I don't have to cut down because someone is having an inferiority complex about who they are. So for me, allow me to be me so that I can flourish to be the best me, and I will give you my best me.
What is that?
Whatever that
is. Now we're hearing theories.
Whatever that is.
But let's just talk about that, because actually, you know what? Okay, that aside, allow your partner to be themselves.
Yeah.
However, let's talk about the realness, because marriage is also the day-to-day, the chores, the schedules, the things like that.
Yeah.
And there are expectations of, and I think for a marriage to work, this is my personal thing. I am no marriage counselor. I am no love doctor. But from day one, there has to be a sense of, in this house that we live in this life that we're trying to build, there are certain responsibilities that I will take on because I'm good at them. And actually, you know what? Because of being a man, I am naturally better at them than you. Just naturally. The feminists can come out and say, no, but you know what, man. But there are things that I can do that I don't expect you to do.
Mm.
And I'm taking those on. Okay, right, now choose
right,
yours.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So because you have to go in there with a sense of, this is what I'm here to give. Marriage is not about what you're here to take. It's about what you're here to give.
Right, right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? So if you don't have those things, you're going to get to a point where you go, okay, I have put on the table all these things that I'm giving. You didn't do the same. And now we're stuck with, I actually do have expectations that I can't do those things, and I was hoping you'd help me with them. You know,
yeah.
It's like any partnership, even a business partnership. If you're a better creative than me, but I'm better at admin, I'm not going to expect you to do the books.
Mm.
But I can ask you to help me with the books, just as you can ask me creatively, like when you put together Black Magazine, to say, you know what, can you organize the right stylist, the right photographer and those things? Because I'm actually quite hectic doing other things.
Yeah.
As my partner, I'll go, you know what, I'll support you and I'll help you, because that's what being a partner is.
Right.
Even though that's not my best side, and that's not what I put on the table, and this week I'll handle that, next week you'll help me with that, but nonetheless this is my responsibility.
Right You know, you remind me of something that I think I heard somewhere, I don't know who, but they said to me, and I've taken this literally in its literal form, to say, you know, you need to have almost a CV. These are my strengths. These are my weaknesses. These are the opportunities. These are the threats.
Yeah.
So when
SWOT analysis.
Your SWOT, but on a resume.
Yeah.
So my husband, these are the things I expect from a husband. These are the things I expect from a wife. And we literally go through them line by line to say, I expect this from you.
Can you deliver or not?
And, can
you
know deliver what? On
Before
this?
You get married, you can even say, actually, that's not my thing, baby. That's not. So can we compromise on that one? Because I'll do extra on the other one. Because
But then it's a CV that we both sign and agree.
That's right. But that's, you know, why marriage is a legally binding. It's not just a contract. It's a covenant.
Yeah. But now I'm saying attitude. Now we're in this thing.
Yeah.
And we didn't define these things.
That's a problem that I think a lot of romantic relationships make. And we've been duped into this whole Hollywood version of romance before people get married. Oh, I love you, you make me feel good, oh, you're so great in bed, blah blah, and you know what, when I go out with my homies, with you on my arm, everyone's like looking at you and going, wow, you did good, son, and vice versa. And then we decide, let's make this thing permanent, let's get married. And then all these other things come into it, your family, because you're not just marrying that person, you're marrying their family. You better like
Damn straight.
How you're going to be able to deal with their family. That uncle is always asking you for money.
Yeah.
And vice versa, you know, and she must be aware that, you know, in my family, there's some crazy nuts too. And we're going to see those people sometimes, and how we're going to deal with it. And they're going to be, I think there's going to be expectations. I'm realistic about it. I say that I know that you're going to have expectations of me, and I know that I'm going to have expectations of you. I know that my family's going to have expectations of you, and I am going to be expected to do certain things when I am with your family or when I see them. And I'm okay with that. We just have to manage those now expectations. What can I do? What can I not do? But you can't just not do everything. You can't just say, okay, all these things that you just spoke about, I can't do any of them. I'll see what I do and
no,
I'll
but
see
then
what I don't
we're
do.
We're assuming it's two mature people that are discussing things.
But that's a very bad assumption, because
no, but you have to be mature.
People.
Then
people
don't
get
married.
Don't are not always mature.
No, but then you see the problem is people discuss things when it's already in problem land.
That's the problem.
You don't discuss things when we're actually happy, we're smiling about things, our minds are clear, you know, we're fresh, and there's literally no excuse to fight and go at each other. Let's discuss those things. Because then I worry that if we're always in turmoil, then
why are we always in turmoil? Even when we're trying to bring up this issue, like, okay, like we're
let's
happy.
Let's go for dinner. Yes, listen, let's go for dinner. Love, I actually don't like 1, 2, 3, but what I do like is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Can I have more of what I
can
do
I
like?
Can I have more of 4, 5, 6?
Yeah, yeah. And then what I don't like.
In good times, right? And you
and
write it down.
What I don't like, is there a way that we can minimize that? Or do you, or
exactly.
Is it what you're saying? Like when you said, that's part of just being me. Like you said, your wife allowed you to just be you. What if your wife actually had turned around and said, I love you. I love who you are in totality. But, you know, I don't like when you hang out with your girlfriends for A, B, C, and D. And you go, I'm sorry that you feel that way, but
it's not gonna change,
right?
No.
And here's why.
These people were there before you and I.
But hang on. Is there a however I can accommodate you in this way?
Yes. Yes, accommodation definitely.
In that, you know what? Let's do it this way then. If you don't like me going out with these girlfriends of mine because right. you feel like you're not sure if the whole thing is kosher, how about we come to the house? Every time we want to hang out, they'll be here at the house, and that's where we'll do it. And then you'll be here with us. And if you don't like hanging out with us, then it's you.
Yeah.
Then after a while, you can't say
no. But you see, now you're limiting your friends in that the only time they can see you is at home.
No, I mean it's always going
to be. Let's meet sharp. Yeah, we'll meet. Anyway, come with us.
No, I'm tired.
No, hang on.
No, I'm busy.
Then it's your fault. Then you can't stop me from seeing people if you are not you need to. This is the compromise. You're saying you don't like it. Let's do it together. Let's see what we get up to.
Okay. You know, I've hung out with your friends a couple of times, and you know what? I didn't really get any value out of it. I didn't really enjoy it. So I don't want to anymore.
Then you can't tell me stories.
But I'm still not happy about it.
No. Then don't criticize things that you're not willing to change with me.
Mm.
Don't criticize it.
Then all bets are off, huh?
Yes.
It's like we'll all do what we want to do.
Let's do it, but just know I'm going to be with these people. Because you also have the opportunity to do that. Because we are one. Also, something beautiful I was reading the other day. You know, this guy says he never hires anyone in his business until that person has had supper with him and the wife.
Yeah.
Because he says when he hires a person, he's used half his brain.
Because so the wife is the other half.
The wife is the other half.
Sometimes it's the other 70%.
Yeah, well, in your case, yes.
I'll admit, in my case, it's totally the 70%. I'm just running on 30.
Yeah.
Generally.
But effectively, you know, I took heed of that to say, when you make decisions on behalf of the family and you making them on your own, you're making 50% of a decision that could potentially, you know, you're not even using its 100 scope. And that landed, it stuck, because then I thought to myself, well, if I involve this person, it will be then their choice not to want to do things with me.
The thing is, you know, and my fear has always been this in my own relationship, when you do that, like involving someone else, there is such a thing as a gut feel. And obviously you've got this great gut feel about someone. And from a knowledge point of view, where you've studied their CV, you've seen what they can do, you go, you know what, I have a good feeling about this person.
Consult.
And you know, we went to dinner with this person,
yeah.
And the wife is like, no, I just don't feel like they're right. And you're like, well, what do you mean? I just don't feel that they're right.
Yeah.
And for me, that sort of territory of that emotional, that sort of this thing that women have, that they say, I've got a sixth sense, it just scares the crap out of me, because you're not really explaining why or how, but you're just saying, I've got a feeling. And maybe that feeling might be proved right down the line, but
yeah.
I just need a little bit more explanation for my weak male brain. Just needs a little bit something extra.
No, speak for yourself when you say weak male brain. Look,
I'm not speaking for any other men.
You see where I agree and where I disagree. So there's two prong approach here. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where I agree is that they do have that killer instinct. Women have a killer instinct, but guys, as guys, we kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that killer instinct, if I'm doing something and the woman says, when are you onto something? I just don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but you do. Then I kill it. Because it's in my interest to kill it. Because I am doing something.
I'm lost. When are you doing something like what?
For example, so men are good at killing that seventh instinct or that sixth killer instinct that women have.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I said, let's use it to our advantage. It's not only a sixth instinct when it comes to me and you. Let's use it for other things.
Let's get smart
about it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. So let's use it in every part of our life.
Exactly.
Not just...
not just when I'm cheating.
I know that when you went to George because you're standing at that restaurant and you didn't answer your phone, I know you were doing something. I just can't put my finger on it.
Exactly.
Blah, blah, blah. And then we fight about that because I now have to admit that I did something when I didn't do it. Or even if I did, it's like, why am I going to admit on an instinct? Have you got any facts to back up what you're thinking?
Yeah, if you want to look at my phone, look at it.
Yeah. And if you say I've deleted stuff or my location settings, then yeah, you're right.
I have. Do that.
So you know what? Come at me with something real. I mean, that's always my thing as well. Like, I believe maybe as a man, I don't want to be that insecure guy who's like, hey, I feel like you're doing something. No. And I also don't want to go through my wife's phone, because what if I find something?
Yeah.
So I'm like, when it, and maybe that's naive and stupid, when it comes my way, it will come my way. Mm. But in the meantime, I actually don't even want it to come my way. Mm. I don't want to know my wife is cheating on me. Shit.
Yeah, no.
I want to be living in ignorant bliss. And if, damn, you guys brought it to my house and then I caught you in bed with my wife in my own house, then it's like...
And play Drew Hill.
Yeah, guys.
Somebody's,
you've made it impossible for me to let this go. But outside of that, you know what? Just keep it tidy and we, life can move on.
Yeah.
It will either, it will become strong, and one day you will say to me, baby, I've been seeing this guy for the past 5 years under your nose and you didn't even know. And now I actually realize I love him. I'm leaving. It's like, you know what? Good for you.
Yeah.
Because you were never going to be happy with me any damn way.
Yeah.
Or, hey, yeah, I know, I had some good times with that guy, but now it's over and you never found out and no one knew about it. I'm like, cool. Then, you know, especially if nobody knew about it, I don't want people knowing that shit.
Yeah. No.
That's me. That's how I deal with my own life. I'm like, that's the person I am. I'm like, okay, if I'm doing something that you feel is wrong, and it's also based on a feeling. If I don't feel that it's wrong, I'm going to continue doing it. So either I'm going to be open about it with you, and we can discuss it and we can see where it goes, and you can tell me about your sixth sense and so on and so forth, until I see the light, or you can show it to my rational brain, or when I've decided actually you were right and I come back, then no harm was done. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it's like, actually, yeah, you were right. Dang, what was I thinking?
It's tough going, you know. It's,
but I love it. It's great.
Do you?
Yeah, I do, actually.
I think you suck at it.
I'm crap at it. I'm this is like the only thing I'm really bad at. I'm really great at everything else.
I'm sure you are.
I'm really sure great at everything else. I'm fantastic.
So we've got this young man in studio.
Yeah.
His name is Brooklyn.
Brooklyn's in the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's welcome Brooklyn.
Hey, Brooklyn, how are you doing, man?
Good, thanks, yourself.
How are you guys doing? I'm good. I'm going to ask you to just speak a little bit louder.
Perfect.
There you go. Why is Brooklyn in the studio?
Yeah, good question. Why are you here?
I'm here because I'm part of the Black Life team.
Hey!
All right. Hey! Okay. Now, Brooklyn, I noticed that like you have some hectic earrings and some piercings and things like that. What's that all about, guy?
It's just about an alternative lifestyle. One that I choose to live, being different than most other people.
Okay, what is that lifestyle about, apart from like the earrings and things like that?
Just I don't know, just like very, that. Very, very extreme, on the edge, listening to like hardcore music, doing hardcore things from time to time.
Like you're going ham.
Straight up.
As a, you know what I mean?
Straight up ham.
our producer's like, does that include drugs?
No, not at all. Straight edge, all the way.
All right. So what is an alternative life? What is alternative music? Let's start with what is alternative music, especially in the South African sense. I kind of understand it in the American sense.
I think alternative music is, well, it's coming to like the forefront nowadays, but a lot of underground music that is stuff like alternative hip hop. So you got OK Malone, Cool Cat, Boys and Bucks. Those are very alternative to like what's out there popular, and there's a lot of electronic music.
Okay, would Chance the Rapper be alternative?
I don't know about him as personally, but he has this other project called Chance the Rapper and the Social Experiments. That's right. Very alternative.
Okay.
So yes, that would fall into that category.
That's something like that. What kind of examples of alternative rap are making it into the mainstream then?
Well, that's the thing. So, for instance, in like locally, someone like OK Malone, Cool Cat, for instance, he's very alternative, and his music speaks to a very alternative kind of South African lifestyle.
So,
but it is making him OK Malone, Cool Cat.
OK Malone, Cool Cat. I'll check him out.
Yes, please do.
Okay.
So he's one of that's making it very alternative. Another one is O Dark Arrow. They're from Cape Town. Not really very mainstream, but very alternative, very underground.
So is the what they're talking about in their rap, that does that make them alternative, or
well,
is it the style of the music and the hip-hop,
their rap, their style, the audience that they speak to, the spaces that they occupy?
You know, I remember when I was quite a young man in Joburg, and
you're a very old man now.
I was Sliko, you know, coming out, Sugar Smacks, yeah. And they were alternative,
yeah, definitely
at that point, you know. And I remember
Squatter Camp's
whole thing was, yeah, you know, we're not mainstream, we're not commercial and blah, 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 we're underground. And then they went mainstream and they were played on the radio. And now they're kind of seen as commercial.
Yeah, for sure. I think what's happening is that like a lot of these alternative movements are making its way into the mainstream, and you're seeing that in media, stores, retail, and this alternative lifestyle is now becoming a commercial lifestyle, but its authenticity, its originality is from being alternative.
How important is it for alternative to move into the mainstream, as it were, to become commercial for it to be sustainable?
I don't think that's a tough one, because I know that a lot of these people have messages that want their messages to be strictly alternative, but at the end of the day, they need to feed families, they need to pay bills, and I think the importance of it becoming commercial is that how can we make this a viable thing? How can we make a living from it? And that's when it falls into the mainstream.
Because I find that with me, what I've seen over these 20 years of just being in the industry, the guys who go from alternative to mainstream, whether it's in the arts, whether it's in film and television, whether it's in music, are the ones that are still around when they become mainstream and they can then be sustainable. The guys who never quite switched over at some point start working for the bank or
yeah,
something
that's
else.
That's true.
You know?
And I think it's a case of like understanding, cool, I am in an alternative space and I am trying to make alternative music, I am trying to make alternative fashion, and I am trying to say this, but how do you make it viable? And then that's the key, that the people who do make it work still stay true to themselves. But I think it's a question of, are they sellouts? Are they true to themselves? It's very debatable.
Can you not be true to yourself and still be commercially viable?
I think it's a tough one.
No.
I mean, I look at someone like Kendrick Lamar. I think that he, for me, is totally true to himself. I don't think Black Butterfly was in any way a mainstream hip-hop album. It was kind of a take-it-or-leave-it album. When I heard it for the first time, my thing was, how are they going to play this on the radio?
Yeah.
But he is also commercially viable.
I think what he did, which was a very good example, is that he said he made himself commercial. He never made other people make himself commercial. So he signed to his own record label and he's like, I put out the music I want to the audiences that I want to. I don't need to be told how to make it commercial and how to make it mainstream. I'm the one who does that.
So would that make him a sellout?
No, not at all, because he never sold out to anyone.
Mm. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Mm. Dumisha, do you find that there's a huge gap between, like, I'm going to say our era, for lack of a better word.
Our generation.
Yeah, and like the generation of like Brooklyn.
No, not for me. Not for me.
Really?
Yeah, I think, I mean, apart from the artist that he just mentioned, which I actually just did not know about.
Then that makes a gap. That makes a generational gap.
Not really, because now that I know about it, because I interact with people like Brooklyn all the time, I'll go check it out. If I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. I'm true to myself.
For sure.
If I like it, I like it. If I don't, it doesn't matter whether it's commercial or it's alternative. I don't like it.
Okay, but you don't know OK Malumkuket. Even I know OK Malumkuket.
Yeah, but
Shying a Fox, you know, he goes the street biker thing, you know.
The thing is, right, like he's living an alternative lifestyle, and I think it's about opportunity. I don't always have the opportunity to live that lifestyle in terms of to trying out new things that are not brought to me in the mainstream vein all the time, because I don't have necessarily the time to be going out on a Thursday night and doing the things that I used to do, where I mean, I'd go out from Tuesday until, you know, Sunday. And then you get to experience all these alternative artists, all these alternative venues and things like that. Once in a while, I get to go out. But because I'm in touch with people like Brooklyn, when they bring it to me, I'll be like, yeah, let me check it out.
Brooklyn, do you think there's a gap between us and you guys?
Not anymore. I think there was at some stage. And that's like, it was a stage of like MySpace where kids are just like, we're misunderstood. Like our parents don't understand us. Our teachers don't understand us. But I think we're bridging that gap with the internet, for instance, where we are closer to much more things. I can send you a DM and be like, check out this. And you'll be like, oh snap, I never knew this existed. And now you're hearing it and vice versa.
I think the disconnect with people it's not necessarily a generation or an age thing. It's just who you are. Some people are what I call mainstream, and they'll always be mainstream. It doesn't matter their color. It doesn't matter where they come from. I mean, that's what they are. They're quite conservative in that way. And some people are alternative. Even if they're older or they're younger, that's who they are. They'll find a way to get together in a way, because life, I think, just it revolves, it keeps going. And some of the things that people think they're doing that are new, when you look back at it, when you're from that older generation, you're like, no, we did that already. Don't worry about it.
Definitely.
That's the problem. We did this for 40 years before. I've been doing this industry for 100 years.
I have a problem with people who speak like that. You know, I have a problem with people who also say things like, well, you can't tell me that this is a new way to do things, or this is how you must, you know, especially in my space where I encounter sometimes a cameraman who'll say, no. I've been doing this for 30 years, and in the 30 years I've been doing it, you don't shoot or you don't set up a shot in this way. And you're like, well, maybe you've been doing it wrong for 30 years.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
And then you're having people like a younger generation who are just like, have you ever thought about doing it in this specific way? And having these veterans who are just so set in their ways, and it's like, no, but you don't do it that way. And then younger people offer like new ways to do it, and you're just like, but I like that. It's moving. It's progressive. We're progressing.
And I think, you know, because I'm commercially minded, that's me. I think, and I look at like the American industry as well when it comes to entertainment, that's film and music and everything else. The guys who continue to do well all the time bring in young people and give them the opportunities to express themselves in the way that is best. In terms of, okay, if I was running a record label and I met someone like Kendrick Lamar, I'd say, you know what? I understand the commercial way of doing things in terms of, I understand how we must put your music on the radio by going out and speaking to the to the compilers and things like that.
Yeah.
However, I'm not telling you to now make your music the way the compilers want it.
Exactly.
There will always be certain, even if they're completely commercial and mainstream and you want to get there, that might not get you yet. That's okay. Let's keep you where you are. Keep making the music that you want to make. Keep making the movies that you want to make, because they speak to a certain, for lack of a better word, audience.
Yeah.
I was gonna say market, but they speak to a certain audience, and in time will reveal whether we can cross over and now everyone can see the madness that is you and what you are doing and appreciate it or not. But that doesn't mean that in 50 years, you know, a lot of things that become cult, as we call it, that people, the classics, weren't always that way. They when they came out, nobody understood them.
I must say, hey, to be honest with you, I can't relate to these youngsters. Eh? Like, I look at Pop Brooklyn and you know, there's a difference between criticizing them and being able to understand where they come from.
Yeah.
I don't understand their point of reference.
Okay, why is that?
Because I just don't understand it. Like, it's for me to get into their zone. Like, it's not what I'm accustomed to. It doesn't mean I disagree with it, which is why I think for me, you know, I want us to have more youngsters in studio.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I feel like there's a discourse between what we do and what we consider as important, and vis-a-vis what they do and what they consider as important.
But I think that,
like, marriage. Let's take marriage. Do you think you ever get married?
No, I won't.
Oh, wait, that's a good one.
Do you see?
That's a good start, because you did say you live an alternative lifestyle.
Yeah, for sure.
And for me, let's unpack that, because I want to get back to that. But I also want to say this before we talk about the alternative lifestyle. I've always found you, BC, to be quite a mainstream chap in that way. You're quite a mainstream guy. You know what I mean? You
really?
Do mainstream things. You know, you're not you're not conservative, but if you were to err, you'd err on the side of conservatism. There, I said it.
Quack!
So what's this alternative lifestyle?
I think that it speaks to that. So an alternative lifestyle also speaks to, like, not wanting to get married because of the social pressures that marriages have on you. Like, why can't we commit to just having a relationship that's long, that doesn't have to be, oh, you're going to cheat, oh, you're going to be with other people. Why can't we just be committed to someone without having, as I said, these social pressures? Why, like, why do we have to be stuck in gender norms? Why is there a need for, like, males and females, and there's no crossover of being able to dress different styles or speak in different ways or portray yourself in
different ways? See, I can't relate to that. I cannot relate to that.
You're mainstream, and that's okay. Wait, we're gonna go to a commercial break, and then we'll be right back and talk about this some more, because I'm loving this topic, man. It's fantastic.
When you're in the back seat with four multicolored aliens and a talking bear, you don't ask questions. Questions like,
where are we going anyway?
Can I have another cookie?
Mom, are we there yet?
Because when you can watch Teletubbies, Winnie the Pooh, and all the best kid shows online anytime for 99 Rand a month with Showmax, a long road trip goes by a whole lot faster. So get to showmax.com and get your 7-day free trial.
Yeah.
Thanks. thought the show was 11:30.
No. You're back on air right now. The show is at 11 to 12.
Oh, best.
So here's the thing, right? Maybe let's discuss that alternative lifestyle from that point of view of relationships. We've got a young man. I wish we had a young woman here as well.
No. Their chances will come. This is men.
It's just men.
Yeah,
talking.
No, let's talk.
And now we're like not hearing the other side.
I don't want to hear the other side right now. Don't want to hear it.
Are you in an alternative relationship?
Yes, I am. So I'm in an interracial relationship with...
That's not alternative anymore.
No, but it's alternative in the sense that I'm in an interrelational
By the way, you don't have to answer Dimisha's questions.
No, but I am though, because I'm in an alternative relationship that I'm in an interracial relationship with an Afrikaans person, occupying an Afrikaans space and trying to understand how do I fit in that space and living this very alternative lifestyle to the space, because that space doesn't understand this kind of lifestyle. So that's very alternative to the space that I currently live in. So that is already an alternative lifestyle.
So you're saying that your woman is mainstream?
You're assuming it's a woman.
Mainstream Afrikaans, well, or your man. Because it's alternative, or your transgender person, you know,
you
I don't want to say the wrong things.
You can't keep up. You see, yeah. And you're getting yourself into PC, more trouble.
No, I'm not.
More trouble.
No. You guys are not getting me. I assumed.
Whatever.
Rightly or wrongly, that he's talking about a woman.
It is a woman.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And if it's not, that's for him to correct. It's not because I made a mistake. That's just. It's okay to have an assumption. So that was my assumption. So your woman, because that's what we've established. You're saying is. Basically mainstream.
No, she's very alternative as well.
So she's alternative, but she just happens to be Afrikaans. So
and how old
said,
are you? How old are you? 23.
But hang on a second. Here's my thing, right? Are you saying she's Afrikaans because that's the race group, if we can call it that, that she comes from, or she's Afrikaans because she lives as an Afrikaans
person?
No, so
it's the race group that she comes from. But as I said, it becomes an alternative lifestyle because of like the experiences that we're constantly having, especially in the spaces that we occupy, especially as alternative people. Mm-hmm. So because we are so open-minded and free-thinking, it's constantly hitting walls with other people.
Of course.
Lord Jesus, help me.
And I don't think it's necessarily because she's Afrikaans, just because she's different. What ethnic group are you from? Outside of black, I mean, yes, black is established, but there's an ethnic group that you belong to.
Well, it's a mixture.
It's okay. Good. What is the dominant mixture?
The dominant mixture is colored and Indian.
Colored and Indian. Okay, so you grew up in a colored and Indian space, right? Which comes with its own expectations and so on and so forth. Even if you married a Xhosa woman or a Tswana woman or a Sotho woman. Or another Indian woman from a different part of the world, don't you think immediately then that would be sort of like, I won't say interracial, but just intercultural. That's the thing as people,
but
right?
I think,
we come from different places.
I think it still forms into that alternative kind of way because it's a lifestyle that isn't the norm. It's a lifestyle that isn't the mainstream. Thus, it falls into the alternative. So in any form of whatever race or culture, it's always going to be an alternative lifestyle or alternative relationship because people don't understand it.
Okay. Does the fact that it's interracial put extra pressure on that people not being able to understand it?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So there's still that issue in your generation.
Yes,
you're 23 years
definitely.
Old. You're born free. You didn't experience apartheid. From the time you were born, we were kind of free.
Yeah.
Okay, kind of. I say kind of because 1 year when you were born, like we were still like, we're still gonna vote. But nonetheless, what you're saying is that even to this day, and where do you experience in terms of the most pressure because of the interracial relationship when it comes to the generational side? Is it from the older people or people in your own generation as well?
It's across the board. So older people in my own generation who also live quite alternative lifestyles and are still unaccepting, and also the younger generation because that train of thought is still passed down.
Well, this is what we were talking about. I think that we're starting 2016 and we still have issues of racism or race issues in South Africa, which is like when people say, oh, get over the whole race thing, it's been 21 years. I still say no, we're still there, guys. And until we really get to the bottom of this, we'll always always be there, because I think a lot of the things that we do in South Africa is deflect. So we'll go, oh, you know what, I don't really want to talk about this black-white thing. I don't want to talk about inequality. I don't want to talk about this and that, but I'm going to feel it privately. And then when I see this, I'm gonna feel like I might have the right to say something to you because I'm older. Like, dude, why are you with an Afrikaans woman?
Yeah.
You know, couldn't you find a
but
black
woman?
But
what makes that alternative? I mean, this has been happening for centuries, no, but I it's think still we're not an talk, alternative thing.
We're not talking about the fact that it's interracial. We're talking about the fact that he does have an alternative lifestyle with her, which is about the relationship itself. Yes. That means you guys are not planning to get married.
No.
You're not planning to have children.
No.
So you both don't want children.
No.
And if you're not planning to get married,
be careful of that, because women flip that script on you
for sure. But
very quickly,
when she gets to 30,
it's like overnight. It's like in a couple of hours where you just see, I want children now.
Yeah.
Are you sexually committed to only each other? Or
yeah. Yes.
Okay, so it's mainstream in that way.
Yeah, it is.
So what makes it alternative? Because everything else is not quite that alternative. I mean, even married people sometimes don't want to have children. Even people who've decided, you know what, we won't necessarily get married in the sense that we won't sign at home affairs and we won't tell or we won't bring people to this big ceremony that we call a marriage. That's kind of mainstream in a way, because it's like, okay, we just chose not to get married. So the two things that you've mentioned are not necessarily alternative. What really do you believe makes it alternative?
I say it's alternative because just a lot of our beliefs, a lot of what we believe it together as one, makes it alternative.
Like
so
what?
So the things that I said to you about like gender norms and pseudo feminism and all of these things that we believe together, that we choose to believe together as a couple, make us a very alternative couple in that way.
Okay.
In the music that we listen to, in the words and the yeah, just in that way.
But you guys sound like you're very like intellectual, smart people with knowledge. Is that how you guys talk to each other? Like,
yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Gender norms. And, you know, babe, I've been thinking about this gender norm that you're bringing my way. Like, I'm supposed to change the light bulb, or there's a noise downstairs by the door, and it sounds like someone's broken in. I'm not gonna, in the gender norm, play the man and go check it out. I think, you know what, today it's your turn.
Yeah, definitely. We do have these discussions. There's times where I'm just like, listen, I want to feel as if I'm being treated. So I'm the girlfriend in this relationship. You can do something for me. Yeah, straight
but
up.
But that's not alternative. I mean, I'm in a mainstream normal, if you can call it normal, because normal implies that it's right. And it's not necessarily right or wrong. I'm just what I call normal, because that's what we call normal. I'm married with a baby, and I want that too sometimes.
For sure, but I think
it's how's like, that
it's,
like?
I think it's a case of being like.
When you say treated, what do you mean then? Maybe it's like
I know I'm
just
like,
you pay the bill this time when you go out.
Straight up,
that should be like normal.
But this is my
that
issue: is
be
that
alternative?
My issue is that it isn't normal. A lot of these things that I am mentioning aren't normal. That then thus makes it alternative. But it should be normal. Like gender norms should be normal. Interracial relationships should be normal, but they aren't.
Yeah,
this is how what we're living.
So
in.
What does she do?
She's a head of content. She's like an editor for a digital agency.
Oh, okay. So you're both in the creative space.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. She's an artist. She makes a lot of art too.
Okay. And what do you do?
I'm also a creative. I make a lot of art myself, and then work for Black Magazine as well.
Yeah.
What do you
two
do
days
at Black?
In, eh?
What did I do? Also online editing, digital creation.
Okay.
Yeah, content.
All right.
Yeah.
I find that quite interesting because I once met a young man who said that I can't. He was in a polyamorous relationship.
I have a few friends like that.
I learned that word the other day. Why didn't you teach me that?
Because I'd forgotten it.
Yeah,
for,
I have a few friends
like,
that.
I dreamt about it all the time. Like, what? Because this guy, right? This young guy, Tabo. I think his name was Tabo. He had lived in Brazil for a while, right? So he goes off to Brazil. He meets this Brazilian woman. And she's bi, you know, bisexual. And they decide that they're in a polyamorous relationship because he has fallen in love with another woman that his wife, because they're actually married, his wife is like, you know what,
I also
think she's hot, and let's do this together. So there's like three of them in the relationship, like just loving each other, you know, which is fantastic. Like, yeah,
I like how you're saying this is fantastic.
Smiling. I was like,
this I'm guy smiling has been because
best deal ever,
ever.
I want to deal like that, but I don't know if I'd stop at just one. Can't I have them all? And you can join in if you don't want to. It's okay.
So for just for educational purposes, what does the word polyamorous mean?
Well, poly is multiple.
Yeah.
Amorous is love. So basically, multiple love relationships. Right. So it's not like you just go out.
Is it gender based? So it's because ours is called polygamy.
Yes. It's gender based. In that, in this particular polyamorous relationship, it's a man who and a woman who love another woman. Yeah. So in that way, traditionally we see it as polygamous. Because the woman is bi, it's actually polyamorous because the two women love each other. So the only way it can work the other way is because it's polyamorous, so everyone must love each other, is if the two men are also into each other, like they're also bisexual. Otherwise it's a different form of polygamy.
Otherwise it also means it's so
yeah, or you can say that okay, we just like we're in a same-sex relationship and we're seeing other same-sex people. That makes it polygamous. Whether you are gay or heterosexual.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, if there's only two people loving each other and there's a third person loving one person, that or a fourth and so on and so on, loving only one person, it's polygamous. But if it's polyamorous, we all love each other. Okay. But unfortunately, I don't think my wife is bisexual, so I would be stuck in a polygamous relationship, which I'm okay with as well.
But my understanding of it was women are in a polyamorous relationship and men are in a polygamous relationship.
No, what I explained is there's a guy, Tabo.
Yes.
He has a wife. Let's call her Lucille.
Correct.
They meet a third person. Let's call her Sarah.
They love each other. Sarah and Thingy's wife.
Sarah and Lucille love each other just as much.
Polyamorous.
Tabo and Lucille.
Polygamous.
Tabo and I call her Sarah, love each other.
Right.
So there's like it's one relationship. They might not all sleep in the same bedroom at the same time. They might not even be having threesomes all the time. But the fact of the matter is everyone is actually in the relationship in a sexual way. Let me just actually say it like that.
Yeah.
Because with polygamy, only the man is having sex with the women. But in polyamorous, and this is my understanding, if I'm wrong, please feel free to tweet, send a message and say, no, that's not actually how it works. My understanding of it is everybody literally sexually partakes of each other, whether at the same time or different times.
Yes, definitely. So they're all in the relationship together.
They're all in the relationship.
You wanted to say something.
Yes, I did. There's actually a South African film that came out last year or the year before. It's a student film called Anna, Patrick and Nicholas that speaks about polyamory. It's a beautiful film, and I think people should check it out because it speaks about this dichotomy and the relationship between these two males and a female and how that works and how they live together and even the struggles that they might face, because as a man, you might feel intimidated by another man, and it speaks about these like struggles.
It's just like a Brokeback Mountain type of thing.
Not really.
Oh, so it's two men who are bisexual.
Yes.
And they happen to love one woman.
One woman. And they're all in this relationship together.
That's quite interesting.
That's hectic.
But even as you see,
why I can't relate to these youngsters,
but this guy's not necessarily like 22. He was like not quite my age, but he was getting there, you know, and people even our age and older have these relationships. But the thing is, when it comes to polygamy, that, you know, polyamorous at the moment, not a lot of people understand it, but a lot of feminists and I think society could accept it more because they're going, well, it's just like everyone loves each other. But polygamy has got this bad connotation, and I think it's wrong for it to have that bad connotation, one of which I think is a racially bad connotation, because it's always been traditionally a black thing, right?
For sure.
And it's like, oh, what do these darkies know? But at the same time, from a feminist point of view, it's like, well, why should it seems like the man is getting the best deal out of this, which I don't think is necessarily true, because there the gender norms are very real. So what it means is the man has to fulfill the expectations of more than one woman at the same time without them necessarily fulfilling each other's expectations. So in polyamorous, for example, Lucille and Sarah can decide, well, it's my turn to cook tonight and I want to cook. I'm cooking for all of us. Whereas in a polygamous relationship, it's Lucille's turn to cook and she's cooking. I'm going to eat as well, but really she's cooking for Tabo. You know what I mean? And I think really if we broke that down and said, well, what if only the man, like for example, has more than one wife, which is polygamy. They're not necessarily bisexual in any way, but they still get along as family. Does that not work? Because there's also certain things that come with that that I think are good. For one, in terms of the gender norms from the female side, a lot of the pressure of expectations is actually taken off you. So even things like sexual expectations. I've just recently had a baby, and as a man, it's very hard to like go through nearly a year of not being able to have sex with your wife because of whatever reason.
Yo, man, they should have warned us with shit like that.
Nobody warns you, dude.
Like, yo, man, they should have warned us.
And I sometimes
warn us.
You know what? If there was like another one or two sisters there that you all get along, that like we've all agreed that it's okay, I take out my frustrations there, like it could work out instead of like going to these clubs.
Yeah. Did you go to the club?
No, I didn't go to the club.
Right.
But I'm making an example. Ends up happening, you end up like, you know, whatever.
I heard you got your like platinum membership to the Grand.
No, I can't afford the Grand. They actually kicked me out. I probably owe them too much money.
Were
like, no more.
So tell me, would you guys be open to a polyamorous relationship?
I don't think we would do that because we're committed to each other, and it's not something that we'd want to, like, it's a case where we're happy with each other,
like, right?
So I'm not saying that we're not open to it, but I know right now is that we're just trying to focus on each other.
But wouldn't alternative, and that's great. But the term being in an alternative relationship means that actually should one person have that thought, then we all have to be kind of open to it, right?
Yes, no, definitely.
Because you can't say, no, but this is not normal.
Yeah,
and alternative, and that's the thing that a lot of people use when they're in a, and I'm putting up my quotation marks here.
Yeah, you're politically correct today.
When people say normal, it's like as soon as you bring something up that's not normal according to the understanding we have, it's then the classic defense is, but that's not normal. Can't happen.
No, sorry. That's the thing with us. For us, like, everything should be normal that isn't normal. So gender norms, polyamorous relationships, etc. But these are discussions that we have. We're never just like, no, screw that, it's not gonna
happen. So you guys are having those kind of discussions?
Yeah, we have discussions about this all the time, about all different states of like alternative lifestyles, etc.
And then music, I mean, do you guys listen to the same music?
Yeah, we listen to the same music and also very different music as well.
Okay, and how old is she?
She's 25.
Okay.
This sounds to me like a normal relationship that's just working. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it should be. Because you're not going to listen to the same music anyway, whether you come from the same neighborhood, like the same street, you're the same race. And at the end of the day, in any relationship, whether you call it mainstream or alternative, you should be able to have open discussions of, you know what, babe, this is what I'm feeling like now. And okay, let's discuss it. Because whether it's alternative or not, if one of you disagrees, you have to bring your reasons forward of like, you know what, I'm not down with this polyamorous thing, it's not going to work, or this polygamy thing, whatever it is.
How do you even start that topic, though? I mean, you as a married man today, how would you engage that topic?
I tried that once. It was a happy day. We were having wonderful lunch somewhere, and I tried that, and it didn't go very well. To this day, I'm still suffering from it, you know.
So, how did you start it?
I was just like, you know what, babe? I've been thinking, and I think that this whole polygamy thing, or maybe a second or third wife, if you agree with it, I don't think it would be such a bad idea. Because
did you mention wife or shag? There's a difference.
Well, I said wife, but really, I think maybe what I meant was, let's just start with the shag thing first, and let's just start with testing out the
work.
So we get along. For all of us though, and if it works out, then it works out, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. Maybe that would be called then an open relationship in a way. But like, she was totally against just the conversation, you know, like no, we can't even discuss that.
See, that's my issue, is that a lot of people who are in mainstream relationships can't even have the conversation. There is no room for those conversations.
And you know, it's become quite.
Demisho's phone is ringing. I think this is the wife trying to
like, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is like in normal relationships, alternative relationships, whatever relationship, however you define your relationship, what you should be able to do is have an open forum of communication.
Exactly. But you don't have it, and you're telling me to go have it.
Exactly.
What the hell?
Well, we're getting there. I mean, no, it's going to take a while. It might never happen.
Your ass has been without sex for a year, and you want to tell me about...
I didn't say a year. I said nearly a year. I mean, I could be wrong, you know. Maybe in my understanding was a year, but if my wife was here, she'd say, actually, you are lying to these people because you've been getting it, guy. You've been getting it.
I love you, buddy.
And I'm like, well, you know, it was like just... I can't remember those times, or I can remember, but it wasn't like to the level.
Right. No, because now you, like, for me, I can gladly tell you that it was months. It was probably like 7-8 months.
That's nearly a year.
Yeah.
There's only 12 months.
I know. After Brooklyn won't know what we're talking about now.
After 6 months,
like,
we have gone past 50%.
That's a year, buddy.
It's like nearly, for as long as you were pregnant. And then, you know, like, that, yeah.
Goodness.
And that happened.
I think I wanna get the sex show guys on our show.
Yeah, we should get them.
What do you think?
That's a good idea.
Let's get the sex
but
show guys.
They're very alternative, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, they're very. They live an alternative. They're like proper alternative to the
core. So when can we hang out with them? Like in the name of, will you arrange Duncan?
I'll arrange that. I'll arrange it.
A meeting of minds? Now they come on our show. We go on their show, and we go out like
we have. We unfortunately have no alternative music, and the music that we have here that Duncan's put out here for us is, I don't even know what to play out with, because it's time for us to wrap up the show. I'll play Let's Get Caught.
Duncan is just on another level.
Let's Get Caught by Jidana and Deep Cotton featuring Jidana. Let's Get Caught. We're out of here. It's been an amazing show.
It's been a good start to the year. Welcome to the team, by the way.
Thank you,
young man.
Appreciate it. Where the women at?
This is CliffCentral.com.